The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Well, I'm grateful to be standing in the pulpit for Pastor Michael today. He will be back with us next week. And if you have your Bibles, if you have your phones, Androids, whatever you have, electronic devices, I'm going to ask you in advance just to turn to Daniel chapter 3 so you can be prepared when we get to the text of the message. You know, there was a guy by the name of Walter Dodge. He was a professional fighter, and he was known as a smoke jumper, going into forest fires and trying to tackle the blazes. It was 1949 in the month of August, and Dodge and his crew found themselves jumping from the parachute into the Man Gulch fire in central Montana. And as they parachuted in, they started looking around and started surveying the situation, and it was a lot worse on ground than they had seen what was from up above. Over 3,000 acres had been destroyed in a matter of 10 minutes. The winds were blowing the fire above the gulch where he had left his men, cutting off their escape route. And as he ran back to his men and ordered them to retreat, he realized that they were found themselves in this transitional zone. So there was fire on the side of a mountain right here. There was fire on a mountain side right here. It got closed off on the backside back here, and they found themselves in this transitionary plains where there was just a lot of tall weeds and a lot of grass that was probably waist high to shoulder length high. And every fighter knows that you cannot outrun a prairie grass fire, because once it lights like a blaze and it just spreads like wildfire so quickly. They knew that they would be completely engulfed once an ember were to hit this particular transitional zone. Smoke was thick as fog, and ashes were coming down like snowflakes, and there was no escaping. And the only option for Dodge and his men were to stand up and burn up, to turn into burn up, or to turn the opposite way and run and burn up. And it takes enormous courage. It takes enormous courage to face such conditions like this. I think of our police department. I think of our firefighters, that every time they walk out their doors on a daily basis, they face situations and decisions very similar to this. In parallel, I would say I think of us as the body of Christ, and I think that we all have been there in our lives where we are surrounded by the fires. And I don't necessarily mean the heat type of fire, but we are surrounded by fires of circumstance and situations. Situations when it seems that it would be easier to walk away than to face the day. Where it would be easier to give up and easier to give in to a situation rather than face the situation. So it comes to the point, and we beg the question as we gather this morning, is, so what are we as believers to do in situations like that? How are we to come to the point where we are to gain courage to press and to move forward so we can be who it is that God has called for us to be? And so today we are going to take up one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. And I think in the story that we're about to discuss, I believe it is so relevant to where we are in the world today, to where our nation is today, to where the state of our church is today, and to where we are as the body of Christ today. And the story is of three young men who were thrown into a fiery furnace. And the question comes, why? Well, they were thrown in because they were standing for what was right, and they were standing against what was wrong. Standing for what was right, standing against what was wrong. Regardless of whether you know these three gentlemen's names, this story took place over 2.5 millennia ago, and it's as up to date today as the headlines that are on the news today. And keep in mind, when we read stories in the Bible, when you read the book, and hopefully you read the book on a daily basis, when we take time to read God's word, we are not just simply reading what has been done. We are reading things that are being done and that God is continually doing. God's word is so alive and active, and you are reading how God wanted his people to live then and how God is wanting his people to live today. There is a great lesson that all We who are disciples of Jesus, and as a disciple of Jesus, I'm talking about a believer in Christ, asking you, you know, if you've come to the point where you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart to be Lord of your life, you are a disciple of Christ. And so there's a great lesson that we better learn as we face the coming days, as we face the coming months, as we face the coming years, and in everything that is going on within our nation. And that one takeaway of the lesson is that when we face the fire, when we face the fire, we need to take the heat. We need to take the heat. When we are confronted with a situation, you can either stand for what is right or you can compromise and settle for what is wrong. And so as we jump into this lesson today, the first point is that we need to take courage from God as we step into the heat. We as the body of Christ need to take courage. You know, in these first six verses, you know, because I would say of Israel's disobedience and disregard of God, God had allowed the Israelites to be held captive by the Babylonians. The Babylonians, in turn, had taken captive of some of the finest young men in Israel, started training them and equipping them to become the finest citizens in Babylon, to turn them into productive citizens. The leader of Babylon at this time was King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the most powerful monarch in the world. No one else before, or I would say no one else since, has ever ruled over more property and people than King Nebuchadnezzar. He was not only commander-in-chief of the most powerful army on earth, but at this point, he was the high priest of political correctness. He wanted everyone to bow down to the same altar, to worship the same God, and he wanted to make sure that everybody was included and nobody was excluded. So he lifted up and erected this golden image of this pagan God. And at the appointed time, he wanted everybody to bow down and to worship him, to worship this idol. There were to be no exemptions and there were to be absolutely no exceptions. You will notice the list of dignitaries that were there. It was basically everybody who was somebody, a variable political who's who had gathered to join this cult of conformity and bow down to this pagan god, this gaudy golden statue. It must have been a tremendous sight as the people came and for the dedication of this statue. King Nebuchadnezzar, he had set a new religion to be formed and a new god to be worshipped. Everybody is going to come to the point where they are joining the church on the same day. Their only other option was to what? To fry like a crispy critter, right? But then the proclamation of this pagan commandment is met by the wall of divine courage. A wall of divine courage where these young Hebrew men stood up when everybody else bowed down. But they stood up for their faith. And their actions were reported when Scripture says, "There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your God or worship the golden image that you have set up." Now I want you to think about that for a moment. Anybody and everybody who was somebody fell in line to what this king was commanding of them. They went along to get along, everybody except these three Hebrew men. Talk about a profile of courage. It doesn't take much courage to stand with a moral majority, but it takes tremendous courage to stand for the moral minority. These young men, they could have easily compromised. They could have easily come to the point and said, "Well, I don't want politics to interfere with my beliefs." They could have easily said, "Well, you know, everybody else is doing it, so what's going to happen in Babylon? We'll keep in Babylon." Kind of sounds like a city of Las Vegas, right? "I don't believe I ought to impose my morality on somebody else," or "I'll bow down on the outside, but not on the inside." Or, "It's legal now, so it must be right." You know, these three men do us such an amazing favor. They show us what real faith is all about. Real faith means obeying God regardless of the feelings that we have within us, the circumstances that are around us, or the consequences that are before us, and the heat that we might go through in our circumstances. I think one of the greatest lessons as a parent that you will ever teach your child is to have courage to stand for what is right. Courage to teach your child to stand for what is right, even though your child may stand alone. The only place you will find this courage is in our relationship with God. You know, I had a conversation with my daughter the other night. Simple little conversation. I don't know why I'm getting emotional, but it was an opportunity where she stood for what God wanted her to do. She had a really good friend of hers that does not have like-minded faith as us. And her grandmother of this little girl was, you know, dying. And she's like, you know, Dad, I want to say something, but I don't know what to say. She said, maybe I'll say I'm thinking about you, because she knows, you know, there's not like-minded faith. But then she came back and she said, you know, Dad, I sent the text and I said, I'm praying for you and I'm hoping and praying that everything goes well. And I was like, man, that's an opportunity that she took to stand for what God wanted her to do, something so simple. And we need to always remember, when you stand for what is right, you never stand alone. None of us do. We never stand alone. God always stands in the heat with us. So not only do we take courage from God, but we keep confidence in God. And point number two, Nebuchadnezzar hears about the disobedience of these three men, and he decides to give these men a second chance. And in scripture we read, he says, now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and to worship the image I have made, he says, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the fiery furnace. But then with such a brazen statement, he says, and who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands? And I can see these three Hebrew guys standing in the back and saying, no, he didn't just say that. Uh-uh. You know, and listen to that question. That is the question that you will allow to be asked when you are being tempted to compromise, tempted to give in to a situation that you know is not right. And what was the response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? In verse 16, they answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. I love these guys because they don't fear and they don't even flinch. They look this king square in the eye. Basically, they're saying, you know, Nebi, it's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion. It is not up for deliberation. We may burn, but we will not bend and we will not bow. In a storm, in a forest, the tallest tree is most likely to draw the lightning. If we as the body of Christ decide to stand tall for what is right and to stand tall for our Lord Jesus Christ, you will draw the fire and you will face the heat. Because the moment you say yes to what God wants you to do, the enemy's getting others on the front line to try to attack you and pull you in a different direction. But what do these men do? Verse 17 says, if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Whatever happened, they were not going to walk groaning. They were not going to complain. They were not going to say, oh, woe is me for what we have to go through. They were going to go out singing, no matter what. How great is our God. When we go through fiery circumstances in our walk with God, is our first response to press forth in faith and start singing how great is our God? Sometimes it's not. You know, these men were going to face fire with faith and not fear. And the reason they had such great faith was because they knew they were placing their faith in a God who is so gracious, a God who is so loving, and a God who is so able. And that, my friends, is something that we need not ever forget, that our God is so able. Our God is able to take grief and turn it into glory. Amen? Physically, our God is able to take illness and turn it into wellness. Spiritually, on the inside, when we release control ourselves and tap into the power of Him, our God is able to take a rebellious heart and turn that rebellious heart through grace and forgiveness into a redeemed heart. Eternally, our God is able to take the sunset of death and turn it into the sunrise of resurrection and glory with Him, in eternity with Him. Our God is so able. Amen. Amen. What they say next, I would say, is one of the all-time great statements of faith throughout God's book. Talk about facing fire with faith. In chapter 3, verse 18, it says, But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden image that you have set up. I want you to put a circle around those three words, but if not. These men had already made up in their mind, they've already surrendered with their heart, they had decided what was right and what was wrong. And I do not think that they doubted that God could save them. They had no right to presume that God would save them. And I think of us when we face heat, when we face trials, and we face circumstances. As God's beloved children, we have better make up our mind every day before we walk out that front door, before we get in our car, before we put the car in reverse and drive away. We need to make that decision whether or not we are going to live for God or not. Whether you're going to obey God or not, and whether you're going to stand for truth for Him or not before you walk out that door. These men, they had already decided we are going to face the fire. They were going to take the heat, and they were going to walk confidently, and they are going to walk in courage. They were going to stand with God, and they were going to stand for God, whether they died or not. Real faith is not the confidence that God will work out things the way that we want, but real faith is the confidence that God will work things out the way that He wants. Amen? But if not, those three words, but if not, faith understands that we can't always be sure of what is going to happen, but we can always be sure of who is controlling what is going to happen. You think of the disappointments in your life, and we all have them. Disappointment does not mean that God has disappeared. Death does not mean that God has failed. Difficulty does not mean that God is weak and out of control. If you face the fire and you have to take the heat, you need to remind yourself that His eye is on that thermometer. His hand is always there. And we can have strength to face that heat in courage, trusting in that. So we take courage from God, we keep confidence in God, okay? And we honor commitment to God. You honor commitment to God. If God delivered these men from the furnace, they would live for Him. If God delivered them through the furnace and they perished, they would live with Him. Whether they lived or died, they made a commitment to God and they were going to honor it. And now the fun begins because Nebuchadnezzar is ticked. He's upset, and he orders that furnace to be, you know, to go 7 times the normal. And what happens? We read in the scriptures that even the guards died because of the intense heat. What Nebuchadnezzar wanted was he wanted the smoke from that fire to be a reminder to everyone else in the land of Babylon. He wanted it to be a reminder to them that you better step in and stay in line and stay on the line and do what I tell you to do. But as the story unfolds, we kind of know what happened. And in verses 23 through 25, Scripture says, "And these three men fell bound into the burning fiery furnace, and King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose up. He rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?' They answered and said to the king, 'True, O king.' He answered and said, 'But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods.'" Many believe that this fourth individual, this man that looked like a son of God, was the Son of God, an Old Testament appearance of the New Testament Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate. And Nebuchadnezzar now realizes, you know, these men can stay in there all day, but there's not going to be any barbecue. He sees them walking around. He comes near to the door of the burning fiery furnace, and he declares, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." And these men walk out of that fire. Verse 24 tells us three men went in. 25 tells us there were four men there. 26 tells us three men came out. And where does that leave the fourth man? That fourth man is still in the fire. When you take the heat for God, he is going to take the heat with you. We never need to fear the furnace. If these men had kept their mouths shut, if they had minded their own business, got in line and did what the majority was doing, and not had been thrown into that furnace, they would have never come to the point where they experienced the presence of God. Not only his presence, they wouldn't have experienced the power of God or had been enveloped by the protection of God. And it's a reminder to us as we go through certain things that we go through, it's hard to walk through the heat sometimes, isn't it? But if we walk through the heat confidently, courageously, being committed to him and him alone, we will experience his presence in such a mighty way. We will enjoy the power of him, and we will be enveloped by his protection. And I'm not saying it's easy, because it's difficult. But we need to have courage and know that he is always with us. It's the opportunity to prove that with God, each one of us can face any furnace. We will be able to take the heat. And you remember those firefighters that I started talking about at the beginning of the message? You know, Dodge found himself at a very treacherous point. Again, there was fire on both sides. There was fire in the back blocking the escape route. And so what he did, and his men flipped out at, he took a match, he threw it in front of him. That blaze started up just like that. It started to go out, continuing widening circle, and his men started to gather around, but it cleared a small area of everything that could be burned in the center of it. And so he told his men, he's like, "We need to jump through this fire. We need to get over there." His men thought he was crazy. But he jumped through, he landed, he rolled, he took the wet cloth, put it over his face, and he just kind of curled up. Two men went one way, and two men did escape, but 13 other men went a different way, and they died. He was a man that wasn't followed. But he realized that the firewall went around the circle because it found nothing to burn on the inside. Not even a hair on his head was singed. Strangely enough, with faith, a lot of times the man that is willing to take the heat is the man that's willing to live, and God is able to work through that man to accomplish the task. I think about 2,000 years ago, I think of our Lord Jesus Christ. He walked into a fiery furnace, into the shape of a cross. where his hands and his feet were pierced for our transgressions. He took the heat of God's wrath against our sin so that we could be a people that are forgiven through his grace, so that we could be a people that are redeemed, not from the fire of death, but so that we could have light of eternal life with him. Amen. And so when you think about, you know, if there's any other reason that we have, every chance we get, we ought to walk through the heat of life circumstances and face them with courage, because he took the greatest heat for us. But when it comes to those decisions to walk through that heat, it's our choice. So stand with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just bow our heads and our hearts before you. And Father God, I just thank you so much for both New and Old Testament characters that we can learn and gain insight from. Father God, as many of us have come through a fire and a trial, many of us may be at a point where we are walking through the heat right now. I pray, Lord God, that we would take courage. I pray, Lord God, that we would be a people that would be taking courage, that we would be a people that would be keeping confidence, and that we would honor our commitments to you and to you alone. Only we can walk through the fire through your power and your strength, but we need to relinquish control. Father, we need to tap into the power of you to be who it is that you have called for us to be as the body of Christ. So, Father, for each heart that's represented here this morning, I give you thanks and praise. I thank you for what they've been through. I thank you for what they're going through. And, Father God, through it all, we claim victory in you and through you. And thank you for what you did on the cross for us. Father God, we love you, we praise you, and we offer our hearts in service to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a production of Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.